If you brought your Bibles, if you want to open up to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. Is that going to work? Ephesians chapter 3. We're actually going to do something a little different than we've done in the past. We're going to use the same Bible text today, or at least as a portion of what we're doing. We're going to use the same Bible text today and kind of just complete the thought that we had last week with this idea of being rooted and reached. And my desire is that this would sort of be a theme for us as we move on into 2014, though I promise there will be other topics that we'll talk about during our time together. But my, we're going back to the rain there. Oh, there we go. There we go. I hope that this idea of rooting and reaching is something that we keep in the forefront of our minds throughout the whole year, really, in 2014, and hopefully for the rest of our lives. Last week, we looked at this idea that, began to look at the idea that God wants us to have roots, that God wants us to plant spiritual roots, and that when we do that, that helps us to have the kind of reach that God wants us to have in our lives, the kind of impact, the kind of influence that God would have for us in every aspect of our life. So all followers of Jesus have their roots and they have their reach. We all have roots, whether they're stable or firm or not, or whether they go down deep or whether they're shallow. We all have them in some ways, and we all have our reach. We all have a visible aspect of how we live our Christian faith, how God uses us in the world in which we live. So we all have our roots and we all have a reach. Last week, we looked at this idea that roots provide both nourishment and stability. One of the purpose... Do I need to stay at a particular spot? Am I causing that problem, Scott?
A little bit of it, yeah, but that's all right.
All right, I appreciate that. I'll try to stay a little bit more centered in one spot. One of the things that roots do is they go down into the soil and they provide or they give to the tree nourishment. They pick up water, they pick up the nutrients that the tree needs, and that's a very, very important part of what roots do, and we looked at that last week, and if you missed it and you want to catch up, you can pick up a CD out there in the main entry as you leave or listen to it online. But it's the idea that the roots bring in the things that the tree needs to grow, and we talked about how that applies in our lives spiritually as well, that we need to take in the Word of God, we need to take in the fellowship with other people, we need through prayer to take in the things that we need to grow spiritually if we want to have healthy roots, a healthy root structure. But there's another thing that roots provide for the tree, and that is stability. The roots help anchor the tree into the ground, and I have a picture for you here of some sequoia trees. No, I don't know who that is at the base of the tree. But we were actually talking about sequoias the other night at Worship in the Word, and I learned something new about sequoias. I learned that sequoia trees actually grow in groups. Right, they grow together. Danielle Keister was my sequoia source for information, so I'm looking at her right now just to get a double heads up that yeah, that was true. Right? Is that you, by the way, on the thing there?
I
don't think it is. Okay, all right. I've never actually seen these trees out there in California. They can grow over 300 feet in height. So that's like that's over a 30-story building. So that is really, really a tall tree. And one of the reasons you see them in groups is that their roots are not particularly deep, but they go out, but they intertwine amongst one another. So the roots from one tree intertwines with the roots of the other tree, and that helps to provide what? Stability. It helps to provide stability for the trees to be able to stand. I mean, it looks like how could that tree not be stable, but you know, it's 30 feet or 300 feet tall, so it's really up there. And so the idea is that the roots intertwine together and the roots help anchor one another as it relates to a tree, to each other and gives them stability. And I think that's what our spiritual roots are meant to do as well for us. Excuse me. They are meant to help us to be stable. Now, roots provide stability in the ordinary and the extraordinary times of life. We spend most of our life in the ordinary times, and we need stability for that. But then sometimes there are extraordinary difficult times. There are storms. There are difficulties that come into our lives, and we need roots then too. And we need to be stable and rooted in the heart of God. Now, the primary soil, and this is all kind of review from last week too, the primary soil necessary for proper spiritual root growth is the soil of love. That's what we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 3, that God's love is the soil in which we grow. And if we get that right, if we tap into that love, if we ground ourselves and root ourselves in the love of God, we cannot go wrong. And in that love is provided all of the other things that you and I need to grow in our relationship with God. So the question is, are you stable? Are you stable? Are you someone that is stable in your faith? Now, that doesn't mean stagnant. Being stable doesn't mean stagnant. Being stable means growing, but it still means, are you firm? Are you the kind of person that can say, you know what, I praise you in the storm. I praise you in those difficult times. There are times when my heart is torn. There are times when I don't understand what's going on, and I certainly wouldn't have traveled this path if it was up to me, but yet I'm going to praise you in the storm. I'm going to be stable. And if not, that's what God desires for you. So we're going to begin looking at Ephesians chapter 3 again. And Ephesians, if you weren't here last week, is a letter that was written to the church in Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. And we pick it up kind of in the middle here. He's been talking about this mystery, this idea that God would love not only Jewish people, but also the Gentiles. And how what a groundbreaking idea that was for many of them, that God's love would extend beyond their own little box. And so we pick it up in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, last week we looked at this from a nourishment standpoint, and today we're going to look at it again from a more of a stability standpoint. And the word grounded, where he says rooted and grounded in love, can also be translated founded, and is very similar to our English word, where we get the English word foundation. So there's both a stability and a nourishment aspect to it right here. And so this idea about founded means, or grounded means founded, and it has the idea of stability. What we're going to do is we're actually going to take the very same outline we used last week and just change the word from nourishment to stability. So true stability comes from God. What really anchors you and me in my life, what really is going to anchor us throughout the day, is God himself. Now, there are a couple of bad soils, a couple of types of bad soils to seek stability in. Now, one of those is family. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that there's no stability in family. I think it's one of the really cool things about this congregation is that there is so much stability that can be found in family roots. But unfortunately, that can also be fleeting, and that can also be difficult, because families can split up and families can war and strive and have all kinds of disagreements. And so if your stability is totally rooted in your family, if something were to happen that breaks that stability or shakes that stability, then you won't be firmly grounded in anything else. We see that from time to time. You could be so just rooted and stable in that family structure, but if that's all you have and that family structure breaks down, perhaps because of no fault of your own, you won't be rooted. You won't be grounded. Another thing could be finances. Some people have stability only in their finances. And as long as there's a good number at the bottom of the checking account, or as long as the 401k looks pretty good, hey, they're stable. They think things are going well. But as some of you have already experienced this year, sometimes the job goes away. And we're sitting here on January 19th, and who knows what's going to happen in terms of financial stability for us as we move into the next year. We don't really know what it's going to look like. We might think we know, but things can be different than what we think they could be. And if our rootedness, if our groundedness is just in our bank account, just in our checking account, just in our finances, we're not going to be very well rooted. We're not going to be very well grounded. Another type of bad soil that we can use to seek stability is physical health. You know, hey, good, strong. You know, there's an expression out there that says when you turn 50, everything starts to fall apart, right? Now, I'm 1 year away from that. Today's my 49th birthday, so I'm 1 year away from 50. So I don't know, I'm not sure if she's clapping that I'll fall apart next year or what the deal is there. Connie, I thought we were friends. You know, I'm not really sure anymore. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, I think. And but physical health changes. You know, and if that's where your stability is, if that's where your sense of rootedness and groundedness is in your life, that can change, and it can change just like that. And it could change in one doctor's consultation. It can change in one car accident. It can change in the blink of a moment. And so it's not worthy for us to ground ourselves in either family or finances or physical health, because those things can change. They can be an important component of our stability, but they're not ultimately what God desires. God desires us ultimately to ground ourselves in him, to ground ourselves in his love. God's love is the only soil worthy of planting your life into. It's the only one. So true stability comes from God. Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, look, if you hear these words of mine and you do them, you are like a man who builds his house on a what? A rock. On a solid foundation. You're founded on the rock, on the words of God. And if you don't do that, if you don't hear what he says, or don't do what he says, you will be like a man who builds his house on the sand. And when the inevitable storms of life come, which they do, you won't be founded. You won't be grounded. And things will wash away. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you think, you know, I'm really not that rooted. I'm really not that grounded in the soil of God's love. Well, I have good news. God is always willing to begin the transplant process. God is always willing to say, okay, whatever it is you're rooting yourself in, whatever it is you're grounding yourself in now, let's move over into my soil. Let's move over into my love. Because true stability really comes from and only from the love of God. Number two, true stability comes from the inside. Just like we looked at last week, where the roots take in the nourishment from the ground and from the water, from the soil that you cannot see. True stability really comes from the inside. Most of the things that you see that stabilize buildings and structures are things way down underneath. If you build a, I don't know what the actual ratio is, but I think I've used this thought before, but I remember being in Washington, D.C. area where they were building a I don't know, maybe 15-story building, and it seemed like they went 15 stories down. It seems like they went as far down as they went up. There needed to be a foundation there. There needed to be something. But all of that is unseen. You can't see any of that. It doesn't look pretty. It doesn't seem to be a part of the process. And so you might be tempted to go, and if you're ever building a house or doing something like that, don't skimp on the foundation. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to come in and say, wow, what a wonderful foundation your house has. You know, I've never seen a foundation like that before. No, nobody sees that part, but if you don't have it, all that other fancy stuff that you see on the outside is eventually going to crumble away. So true stability comes from the inside, and genuine stability is really independent of physical strength. Our society spends an awful lot of time gearing us toward that, and there's nothing wrong with working out, or there's nothing wrong with taking care of your body, but, you know, we talk a lot in newspapers and internet about having rock-hard abs. You know, and you learn as you get a little bit older, once you get over like maybe about 40, that rock hard ab thing is pretty much impossible to get. Or we talk about buns of steel. But, oh, just a quick cartoon about that. Here's a little guy trying to have buns of steel. But the problem is that the buns of steel tend to rust over the years. All right, it just doesn't work. That kind of physical strength goes away from us. And so stability doesn't really come from physical strength, but that's what, unfortunately, many times we focus on or we spend all of our time on, and there's nothing wrong with it to a certain extent as long as that's not really where we're getting our stability from. If that's where we're getting our stability from, then we're going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Your rock-hard abs or your buns of steel are not going to be very helpful for you when you lose your job. They're not going to be very helpful for you when your friend leaves you. Not going to be very helpful for you when the cancer diagnosis comes. So genuine stability is independent of physical strength. Here's a way to think about this, that my stability to live comes from God's ability to love. Very one little sentence way of thinking about this, that my stability to live, your stability to live, comes from and is rooted in and is grounded in God's ability to love. And I think this is very, very important because there are two times when we need stability. The most common time we need stability is in the ordinary times of life. That's most of life is the ordinary times of life. And we need stability because we need to be able to be the kind of person that other people can lean on. The Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens. The scripture talks about the idea that I need to be stable for you and you need to be stable for me. And if we think of our congregation as a forest, which we looked at that last week, and if we think about the fact that we might all be sequoias, so we're all these big, giant trees. I know I look more like a bramble bush. But if you think about the fact that we're all these big, giant trees, that our roots are intertwined together, right, in the ordinary days of life, we need one another. That's really most of the time we live our lives in the ordinary times, and we need to be stable. We want to be the kind of person that other people can lean on and that other people can grow from and and feed off of. We want to be that way. That's sort of the way that we are normally. And so we need to be stable in that time of life. But we're not always that way. And there are times when we need stability in the extraordinary times of life. And I wonder if we really think about how love fits into that picture. How does God's love help me to get through the storms of life? Well, I think that it's important to understand that God's love is perfect. And perfect love means that God can never harm me. God can never hurt me. See, I can't say that about my love towards anyone else, because my love is tinged and tainted by selfishness and pride and envy and jealousy and sin. But God's love is perfect. God's love is not tainted by any of those things. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And an enemy of stability is fear, especially in those difficult times of life. What causes us, or one of the things that leads us to be unstable, is this idea that we are afraid. We are afraid of what the future is going to hold. We are afraid of how to pay the bills. We are afraid of how we are going to live or what this disease is going to mean for us. We are afraid of how we are going to be able to move on without this particular relationship, or now that this relationship has changed. But perfect love casts out fear. And so God says, look, I love you perfectly. And if you are grounded in me, there is nothing that can happen in your life that can harm you. God says, essentially, I have your back. I will be there for you. And it is the love of God that helps us to see that. And if you really believe that, if you really, really believe that God loves you and that God's love is perfect, then it gives you stability in the midst of the storm. It gives you stability in the midst of the trial, because you know that somehow God is going to work this out for your good and for His glory. But that is because He loves you. And that is because His love is perfect. And that is because no one can blindside Him. No one can do anything to you that He doesn't already know about. And He will never do anything in your life that is meant to harm you. In fact, one of the more interesting passages of Scripture is in 1 Peter 5, and it says this, and I'll read it in a minute, but God loves so perfectly that we can have stability during times of suffering. We can have stability during times of suffering. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. This begins verse 18, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, now here's the real key phrase, after you have suffered a while, now let's go back and read that again, but may the God of all grace, so who's in charge of this circumstance? God, okay, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, which means complete, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Isn't that amazing? Let's go back again. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That word settle that Peter uses is the very same word that Paul uses in Ephesians 3, where he says rooted and grounded in love. Same word. Suffering is intended by God to help to ground us, to help to settle us. See, now I would never do that to you. I would never try to bring suffering into your life that I would bring into your life to benefit you. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. But God can. God can do that. God does it, and Peter writes about it here. He says, look, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace is going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so many times when the suffering comes, we think that God is not here or there. He's not listening to us. We run away from it. But God is saying, no, I'm using this. This is part of what I'm doing because I love you, and the challenge for you and me is to believe that. See, it's hard for me to say to you, look, I'm going to make you suffer because I love you. You'll say no thank you. And you have every right to say no thank you. But not God. Because suffering is part of what God uses and has used throughout the history of the church. Throughout the history of his word, actually. All the way back to Genesis. God has used suffering to ground us. To stabilize us. To give us stability. And you might be in the midst of that right now. Maybe you don't know 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Maybe you need to go home and write it on a card and put it on your dash or put it on your mirror to understand that even though you're in the midst of the suffering that you would not have signed up for, that God is going to perfect you, to complete you, to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you when you're rooted and grounded in his love. Because he cannot do anything other than that. And it's our job to go along for the ride. Now, they sang this earlier, but I just want to point out these lyrics, the first verse again, to you. Because this song just has meant a lot to me. And I just want to point, the song says, I wish sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped the tears away, stepped in to save the day, you know, this little cape on or whatever it is. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think we've all been there, right? God, I was sure by now. I'm sure by now that you would have reached down and you would have wiped away the tears. You would have stepped in to save the day. But once again, I say amen. Once again, I've asked you to do this, and I open up my eyes and I look around and nothing has changed. It's still raining. What does that mean about God? What does that say about God? Well, the song helps us. It says, and as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And the chorus says, I will praise you in this storm. I will lift my hands. And here's the key phrase, for you are who you are, what? No matter where I am. See, that's so good. And that screams love to me. You are who you are. God, you don't change. Your love does not change. Your mercy does not change. Your sovereignty does not change no matter where I am. You are who you are no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I mean, it's not trying to say, oh, it's all lollipops and roses. I will praise you in the storm. And when we praise him in the storm, when we come to believe by faith that he is who he is, no matter where we find ourselves, we're stabilized, we're settled, we're grounded in the love of God. Number three, true stability is simply the fullness of God. Last week I said that you're never empty. We're never empty. We're always full of something. We want to be full of the fullness of God. And if you just picture that in terms of stability, you know, if you have a container full of cotton balls or a container full of gravel, which one of those containers is much more stable? They're both full. They're both full of stuff. But the container with the cotton balls is very easily moved around, very easily pushed around. But the container full of gravel or coal or whatever it is that fills it up, same height maybe, but there's just difference there, right? There's a stability to that. That's what God's love is. God's love is like that gravel that roots you, that stabilizes you, even when the storm blows. Now, I've been asking, I asked you last week, and I'm going to mention it again, that everybody has one of these things called a personal discipleship plan. And it is my desire for you to do this, to walk through this, to spend some time answering these five questions. How will I fill my mind with truth? How will I grow in my intimacy with God this year? How will I be a witness of God's love to the world? How will I grow as part of my local church? And how will I spread God's glory among the nations? You see, planning has to be part of the process. I was listening to Andy Stanley 2 weeks ago, and oops, wait a minute. Oops, I must have missed one. Oh, no, I didn't. That was an old one. Your capacity for stability depends on what fills you. We already talked about that. But here's what he said, something that I've sort of modified it a little bit. And I want you to think about this spiritually. None of us are planning to fail. You know, I don't ever plan to fail. But I do often fail to plan not to fail. So I don't plan to fail, but have I planned not to fail? I don't plan to shipwreck my faith. I don't plan to abandon God this year. I don't plan to turn my back on God. I want to stay rooted and grounded. That's what I want to do, but do I have a plan to make that happen? Do you have a plan? We start the year, we think, oh, I want to grow closer to Jesus this year, or I want to get rid of this particular sin that's besetting in my life. But what's our plan? What this does is gives you a way to plan. Gives you a way between you and God, your own personal tailored plan between you and God, to decide, okay, what is it that I'm going to do to plant myself in the soil of God's love? God is not going to deliver this truth that we need through the mail. He's not going to do it that way. We need to spend time with Him and with other people who love Him. So I don't plan to fail, but have I planned not to fail? I have my plan. I'm still working on parts of it. It's 5 questions. And then maybe, if you're really serious, you'll share it with somebody. You can share it with me if you want. You can share it with a family member. You can share it with a friend. Maybe you've got someone that you interact with a lot and that share some of these same common goals and ideas. Share it with them and give them freedom to ask you, hey, how's it going? How's your plan? Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that every person here in the congregation is going to do this. But if you're a person who's not going to do this, I mean, you already know, it's like, I'm not going to do that. I just want you to ask this question of yourself. If you don't fill out a plan, or if you don't make a plan, okay, forget it, it doesn't have to be this. If you don't make a plan, what does that say about you and your God? I mean, if you can really sit here and think, you know what, I don't need a plan to grow spiritually next year. I don't even care if I grow spiritually next year. What does that say about you? And about how important God is to you? So don't blow it off. Please just don't do that. Maybe you need to be transplanted into that soil of love. Maybe. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then you're sort of off the hook in terms of this, because the first part of your plan is simply to come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are followers, if you don't have a plan, and if you listen to somebody encouraging you for a month to have a plan, and you walk away from that, and you don't even care, that says something about you. And if you're honest, you're not going to like what it says. So let's have a plan. And let's move forward, rooting. In the next 2 weeks, we'll look at the reaching part of what God has for us. For what God has for us individually and what God has for us collectively. Nourishment and stability. It is there for us. Let's take it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just your grace, your mercy, all the times that you forgive us of all the times we make mistakes. And thank you that you root and ground us in your love. I thank you that you strengthen us from the inside out. Father, I ask you as we just wrap up this morning, and I hope as we think about, making a plan, that we would see how important that plan is in the midst of a storm. How important the relationship that we have with you can be for us in the midst of a storm, but also just in the midst of everyday, ordinary life. Our ability to live is really, really dependent on your ability to love. My stability in my life is absolutely linked to your ability to love. So, Father, I pray that we be stable, that we be steady, that we would trust you, that we would spend time with you, that we would even begin to think about a plan, how it is that we can give you access to every area of our lives so that we can be rooted and grounded in you in 2014. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.